And we are continuing with our daily reports from some local health officials regarding COVID-19. Our Monday morning reports have traditionally come from Bob Koppel, who is the Ascension Via Christi Hospital president and CEO, and he is back this morning. Bob, good morning. Are you? Let me see here. Let me push that button there. There you are. How are you, Bob?
I'm good. How are you this morning, dude?
Well, we're all hanging in there, and some days that's about all you can do. We had some additional numbers yesterday, and let's talk a little bit about how some of those people are being treated when they come in. You know, once they're, is there much of a difference from when they're being treated before? Maybe I guess I should say after the test has been taken, as opposed to once it's been documented or tested positive?
Sure. So the actual treatment of the patient isn't a whole lot different than anybody else who's having some sort of significant respiratory problem or struggles. And so the actual process, quite honestly, most of the medications, kind of the steps you follow as people either get better or perhaps take a turn and don't improve, that's actually pretty similar to how we would treat most of the patients. And a piece that is a lot of these patients actually end up with pneumonia. And so that's something that's fairly common. I think the severity and the volume of patients is probably going to be the difference in this particular situation with COVID-19. You know, I think it's also kind of important to kind of make people aware. So you're obviously going to see your physician, you're going to see your nurses, but with any sort of pulmonary disease, there's actually kind of a whole cadre of other people becoming involved, and certainly respiratory therapy is kind of plays a very key role. But even physical therapists, occupational therapists, because it's important, again, to get people up and ambulating afterwards. Nutrition, so our registered dietitians play a huge role as well. And it really is an interdisciplinary team approach to try to help people recover and do better.
I've heard stories about patients that have been intubated, and I don't know if that, you know, I haven't heard of those stories of any of the patients that are dealing with it here. But being intubated, can you describe the process of what that is?
Well, so one, it is, it's not pleasant. You're basically, you're being hooked up to apparatus. There's a tube that's going to be placed down your throat, and it's all with the intent of it. Make sure you have an open airway and that they're able to, in the case like with a ventilator, for example, you're then able to use a mechanical device to make sure that people are getting oxygen, and they're getting it at a certain rate, and you're making sure that, you know, the breathing process, that you're actually pushing oxygen into the body. And so that's, you know, it's actually kind of a big deal. The technology itself ranges. There's a variety of different kinds of ventilators, and, you know, you hear and read in the media about, you know, we're flipping some other factories in our country to now make them. And so there's actually some components like the small pumps and the small motors that are really analogous, like the things in an auto or other devices. And so you really can take some of the kind of the same basic technology and then incorporate it into a device to also use for medical use. The devices that they're making aren't going to be as elaborate, but they also don't really need to be. That's really not the issue here. It's just having that source and being able to control somewhat the oxygen flow and what you're trying to do for that patient.
I know, Bob, that there's been a number of we are well aware that there are a number of patients that are being treated right now, whether it be for pneumonia or COVID-related conditions. How comfortable are you with what, you know, prognosticators are saying will be in 2 weeks or 4 weeks with a lot more cases that are going to be reported and documented here?
Well, so I think, you know, from a just an analytics perspective, I think everybody believes that a lot of the predictions are going to be somewhat accurate. So where we are just geographically, and a piece of this gets back to how successful we are social distancing in our region, but we are probably more on a longer timeline than, I don't foresee that we're going to have huge numbers of patients in 2 weeks. We know for certain that we will have patients within 2 weeks. I think we are going to be pushed out more in the 4 to 5 week, maybe even 6 week time frame. It really, the data, what you watch for is when the number of positive cases start to double, and then how many days it takes for your positive cases to double. So if you're at 5, how many days does it take us to get to 10? How many days then does it take us to get to 20? That's what you start to watch for, because that's the indicator of your peak is starting to arrive, if you will.
And in order to try to curtail as much as that as we possibly can, that stay-at-home order is very important.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday in Kansas City, and where she lives, she said it is just basically quiet. There's no cars on the streets at all. Just completely kind of, you know, people are at home, they're self-isolating, and things have just kind of ground to a halt. We are not seeing that in Manhattan. We're actually seeing a lot of people still out and around, and that's a concern, because the more successful you are with the stay-at-home orders and keeping people self-isolated, the lower the number of people that are going to become ill, and it really reduces the peaks of how many people are then presenting into your health system at any given time. So, I mean, that is still the key to keep consistent and be very true to that request to, you know, stay at home, self-isolate, only go out if you're going out to get essential medical prescriptions, getting medical help, and or, you know, you're getting food, that sort of thing.
You know, there's also the mental side of things, and I know that there are many people that are struggling with isolation right now.
Well, so that's one of the unintended consequences, actually. But that's a very real issue. And, you know, one of the things, we've even talked with our staff about this, have them make sure that, you know, ask them to talk to their family about this. You know, this is a great time for everybody to pick the phone up and actually get reconnected. You know, I actually had a conversation with my wife about a week ago saying, you know, now is the time. She sang in K-State Choir when she was in college. You know, there's a group of them that are on Facebook. Now is the time to reach out to them, because everybody's in the same situation. Are there friends from, you know, where you used to live, friends from your old neighborhood? And even if it's a 10-minute conversation, that actually can be a huge value to people. And especially, I mean, we've got to remember the folks who are in the long-term care facilities and senior communities, because they've actually been in isolation 1 to 2 weeks longer than everybody else has been. And so it's just real important, you know, reach out if you've got that parent, grandparent, family friend. It's very important that you're reaching out, you know, every other day, every day in some cases it's going to be needed, just to check in, see how they're doing, and just talk about stuff and talk about things other than COVID-19. You know, I just think it's important that we give people just a mental break from this being the only thing that gets talked about.
Not a bad idea. Talk about something other than COVID-19. Well, tomorrow...
We have a whole news program.
What's that?
You have a whole news program. Pick another topic, you know, and just...
We'll work on that.
Talk about... Yeah, well, I'm saying that if people at home, though, talk about, you know, this or that sport or this or that event or whatever. But
well, there's so many things, you know. People are doing some gardening and, you know, getting out and doing some exercising, you know, whether it's just walking or bicycling, fishing or eating some out golf, whatever the case may be. But yeah, there's a lot of other people, a lot of folks that are doing something just to kind of take their minds off things. Yeah. And that's helpful.
Well, and it, you know, it is, I think it's helpful to get outside. And the evenings right now, depending on the level of burning, you know, how pleasant that might be for walking, but it is a good thing to get out, get some sunshine. Actually, you know, just the air itself moving, that's a great place to be. It's a COVID-free environment in some respects. And if you're away from people and you're just outside, it's just a great opportunity to get out and just maybe relax and think about other things. Plan ahead for what you're going to do when we're through this.
Well, tomorrow we're going to have Dr. Mark Duff that will be providing our little report here in place of you, and looking forward to hearing from him. And then also understand we're going to be visiting with Lonnie Baker from Metalark as well on Friday?
Saturday.
Saturday. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, keep sending those good and positive messages to all those up there at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. We appreciate the work that they are doing, and have a great amount of respect for it as well. So, Bob Koppel, thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Dave.
Bob Koppel, President, CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital, joining us here on News Radio KMAN. A look at our forecast, and then Mitch Forner will be stepping in with our morning sports next.